It's Palm Sunday. And I know what you're thinking. It's Palm Sunday. Why, where are all the palms that we're supposed to be waving and all that kind of thing? And I'm just going to go ahead and be honest with you. My week got busy, and they're out in the shed. All right? So if you really want one, we can go out to the shed and dig through the tubs and the boxes and whatever else, and we can find you one. It's just, it just didn't make the list this week. So they are out in the shed, but that does not mean we cannot celebrate Palm Sunday. Because Palm Sunday was actually never about the palms. It was about the person. Today we remember Jesus entering Jerusalem riding, hey, there we go, a donkey. Our little friend that has been traveling with us now for about 6 weeks. The crowd lined the road, waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. I got to tell you something. This looked like that moment everything was coming together. I mean, for the disciples, they've got to be cheering because this looks like that breakthrough, that thing they had been waiting for. They're calling Jesus King. And I've got a feeling that the disciples are thinking, I wonder the size of my prince crown's going to be. Because he's going to be king. And I've been faithful for 3 years. I'm going to get my reward. But we know something that they didn't yet understand. Within just a very few days, as Rich just mentioned, the cheering crowd would disappear. The same city would cry for a crucifixion. And every hope that seemed to be carried on that donkey would die on a cross. Palm Sunday reminds us of something important about faith. Sometimes the road of faith begins in celebration, but it must pass through perseverance. The road that we've been riding with our little donkey friend here has been happening over the past few weeks, and we've learned some very valuable lessons about holy healing. Now, our kids have been downstairs, so I'm going to make sure that I catch everybody up on where we've been, because along the way, we've met several donkeys that have taught us what it means to actually pursue God. We started this journey. There we go. We started this journey with the knowing donkey. Just learning who God is, understanding who God is, and how God provides for us. As we traveled down our path, we met Joseph and the forgiving donkey. And it showed us that grace carried us forward even after hurt drags us down. As we kept walking along the path, we met a discerning donkey. Joshua helped us see that we need to inquire of God before making decisions, instead of just respecting the circumstances around us. We kept going, and yeah, maybe some people wish that we would take a little detour from our next donkey, but we marched right through Judges chapter 19, and we met a disgusting donkey. A donkey that confronted us with the brokenness of the world that is in desperate need of redemption. That world includes me and you and our need for a Savior. After there, we didn't give up, and that's the good news, because we traveled and we met King Saul. And King Saul showed us an obedient donkey. It reminds us that 99% obedient means 100% disobedient. That last little 1% of obedience is important to God as all the rest of the picture. Because the hardest part of faith is not sacrifice. And each donkey taught us something about fueling our walk with God for the long haul. But today we arrive at the very last donkey on the trail. Now, you have to understand, this was originally a 7-week sermon series. So this isn't even the sermon that was supposed to be here. This was supposed to be back up a few weeks. And today was supposed to be Balaam's donkey. But don't worry, he didn't escape. We're going to track him down a little bit later. But for today, we're going to talk about the donkey of perseverance. And this one carries a very important lesson because it kind of ties all of these other donkeys together. So let me just start with a really simple question. I bet everybody's had this moment. Have you ever been at a point in your life where it just felt easier to quit than to keep going? Have you ever had that time in your moment that you just looked out there and you're like, you know what? I'm done. I just cannot figure out how I'm going to take another step. Maybe it's a relationship that you had invested so heavily in and it's crashing down. Maybe it was a prayer request that you lifted up diligently to God for month after month after month after month and it didn't happen the way you thought. Maybe it's a dream that you had at some point in your life, a goal, an objective, and it just didn't work out. And that dream seemed to die. Like obedience, this idea of perseverance doesn't always look heroic. In fact, often it's quiet and unseen and hard. Like disobedience, perseverance doesn't always look heroic. It's just unseen and hard. It's that decision. I'm going to take one more step. When everything in your heart, in your mind, in your life just says, you know what? It's just not worth it. Perseverance is like the clearest sign of a spiritual-fueled, mature life that you've actually got an understanding of who God is. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Perseverance is what turns belief into endurance. Perseverance is what moves faith from a moment, something that just happened in my life, to, you know what, I get up every single day and rededicate my life to a lifestyle of following God. And well, today I'm going to tell you a story. It's Kids Sunday, and so I don't get to do these kind of sermons very often. I only get to do these four times a year. Okay, I do them more than that, but this is where I have permission to do them four times a year. So there isn't going to be a lot of scripture reading. But I am going to recap a bunch of scripture in a very short time. So you better saddle up and buckle up because we got a movie, okay? Today, we are going to talk about what it turns belief into endurance. We're going to talk about what turns into that lifestyle. Today, we're going to talk about a woman who refused to give up. And we don't know her name. All we know is where she's from, and we call her the Shunammite woman. But her story reminds us that we cannot reach the fullness of God's promise if we just stop halfway. And guess what? Good news. Once again, there's a donkey involved in the story. So let's just take a moment to look at the story, look at what happened in her story, and let's talk about why this perseverance is so important. So when we first meet this woman, all she's doing is making room for God. If you want to try to follow along the scripture as I recap, I'm in 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to start right around verses 8 through 10. But Elisha is a prophet, and he passes through Shunem, and a well-to-do woman invites him to dinner. Just come eat. And when they're all done, she tells her husband, let's build a small room for the man of God. So this is an important moment for her because before any miracle ever came, she has made room for God's presence. She's making an addition onto her life simply because she wants God in her presence. She wasn't asking for a blessing. She was simply being faithful. And well, as the story goes, perseverance starts in faithfulness. Before there's a storm. Before there is a test. You see, sometimes we think the idea of perseverance, that ability to keep moving, that ability to keep going even when it doesn't make any sense, begins in crisis mode. So something has to break before We build our perseverance. If that is where you're going to build perseverance, you're going to quit. Because you know what? Reality, it doesn't start there. Sometimes it ends there. But it begins with this word, consistency. Getting up even when you don't feel like it. Moving on even when you're ready to quit. Saying, you know what? I have no idea why. Sometimes I'm still doing this, but it's important. It's little small acts of devotion. It's that quiet place of obedience. It's simply making room for God to move. And this is kind of an important moment because you do realize that when you make room for God, you never know what you might do next. When you make time for God and you make space for God and you say, God, come on in, you absolutely, positively never know where that was going to take you and where your life was going to turn. So Elijah is impressed and he looks at this woman and he says, so what can I do for you? I mean, you've done something really nice for me. I would like to repay the favor to you. I would like to give you something to show you how appreciative I am that you've done this for me. And she replies, I have a home among my people. She's content. She's satisfied with what she's got, but maybe that's because she's learned something dangerous. She's learned to live without what she wants to. She had hopes and dreams and aspirations and parts of her life that just never seemed to happen. However, Elijah's little attendant, Gehazi is his name, notices, you know what? This lady has no son. They're a couple that had no kids. Their house was quiet and silent and probably clean and neat and orderly. And all of those things that you think about that you don't have when you have kids. And so Elisha goes to this lady and speaks the impossible. About this next time next year, you will hold a son. And the woman looks at Elisha and says, no, my Lord, don't mislead your servant. Don't promise me something you can't deliver to me. Don't tell me that I'm going to be holding a son. Don't build up false hope. Why is this important? Because let's be honest, hope hurts, doesn't it? She buried that dream. It was done. She'd already learned to stop hoping for a child. Yet God resurrects the desire, and well, she buried it, not because she desired to bury it, not to tease her, but he wanted to show her exactly how much power God has for our life. And well, guess what? Elisha's a prophet, and God is God. And well, the word comes true, and she indeed does give birth. And you know, that would be cool if that is where the story ended, because that's the Disney happy ending that we like, right? You know, roll the credits, give the cue. You start with a mommy care, holding the baby, rocking it back and forth. Everybody has smiles. We leave the theater and the story sounds all good. But that's not the end of the story. You see, because the child grew strong and healthy and was full of life. But then one day he was out in the field and cries out, my head! My head! And they rush him to mom. And his mother, by noon of that day, she's holding her rightful son. He literally dies in her arms. It's time to quit, right? Why would God do such a cruel thing? To give me a child and then take him away from me? Why did you build up all of this hope in my life when it's just going to be temporary? I know that's how my life would work. I mean, the hope she didn't dare is now gone. And the miracle that she once held is now laying there in her lap, lifeless. But here's where you have to admire this lady. Instead of falling off, falling apart, she acted in faith. She carried him up to the room that she had built for Elisha. She lays him on the prophet's bed. She shuts the door behind us and says the words that just have to put a chill up his spine. You know what she said? Saddle a donkey. What? You're kidding? What, saddle a donkey? Your child has just died. And when she said those words, her husband looked at her and said, this isn't the right time. Why go today? It's not that you're supposed to be grieving. You're supposed to be hurting. We know right now your heart is broken over what has happened. Why on earth do you want to saddle a donkey? Where do you think you're going? And she just looks at her husband and says, it is well. Don't worry. I have a plan. I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm going this way. She said, it is well. Not because it was, but because she refused to give up. So they go and get her donkey, and they slap the saddle on the donkey, and they get it all buckled up, and she takes a servant and puts the servant on the donkey beside her and said, let's go. And she said, by the way, servant, you ride as hard as you can ride. You go as fast as you can go. I am right behind you, and don't you dare stop unless I tell you to stop. We've got a mission. This story is not over. She refuses to stop halfway. Because in the end, perseverance is that spirit that says, we're going all the way. No stopping short. No giving up in discouragement. No settling for the almost moment that oftentimes we sit down for. And when she finally gets to her destination, we figure out who she's looking for. She's looking for Elisha. She reaches Elisha, and that's where perseverance begins to meet its breaking point. She finds the man of God. And well, happy trigger finger. She falls to the prophet's feet, and she's just overwhelmed. You think? You think she's overwhelmed? You think she's hurting? I mean, why did you do this to me? And that's exactly what she voices. She cries out. She's got the man of God right there. And she said, did I ask you for a son? Didn't I say, don't raise my hopes? What on earth were you thinking? You understand, that's not rebellion. That's real faith. She understands God is just not that person that I smile at. When things are in a catastrophe mode, he's the person I go when I have those hard conversations. Because perseverance is not pretending you're okay. That just because you manage to get up and put a smile on your face and drag yourself, that isn't perseverance when you tell everybody you're fine. Perseverance is holding on when you're not. When everything is broken and you don't understand and you're looking for an answer, it is okay to look at God and say, God, I don't understand. Can you help me understand? It's being honest with God. But at the same time, she refused to let go of God. She was honest. She was upset. She complained. She fucked. She yelled. I got a sneaky suspicion that line, did I not tell you? Wasn't spoken calmly. It probably had a lot of emphasis to it. But even all of that, she refused to let go. And well, Elijah tells her, I tell you what, I'm going to send Gehazi to go check out the situation. You take my servant and head on back home. And she looks at Elisha and says, oh, no. You ain't sending the second in command to my house. You're not sending the second team. I will not leave you. In other words, I am going to stay right here with you to Elisha until you come to my house. That's pretty impressive faith. I mean, this is God's prophet. Does she really have a right to make that kind of imposition on him? Yes, she did. She wanted to tell him, hey, look, I am asking you to explain to me. Notice what she did ask him. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. She refused to let go. The prophet eventually says, okay, I'm going to come to your house, but Gehazi is going to go on ahead of you to still assess the situation, but I'm on the way. She stays with him, and Gehazi gets there, and I'm now down to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. Told you we were going to move fast. It's a lot of verses in just a few minutes. But Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff, so he took Elisha's staff with him, laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. Well, duh, he's dead. You don't wake up dead people, do you? That's not the way stories end. So why put this scripture here? It's here for us. Because we need to remember, the staff brings the life. It's just a piece of wood. Just like the cross was not unique. Rome had plenty of crosses. They had factories making these things. This is how they executed people. The cross itself was just a piece of wood. It was the sacrifice of the cross. Not the stick. Not the device. It was the individual that was hung on that cross. So we began to look, and Elisha arrives, and he enters the room. And he shuts the door, and now it's just him, the child, and God. What are you going to do, Elisha? I got to be honest, what he did is not something I would have chosen to do. Because remember, this has happened a little bit ago. They've had to go get him and get him back there. We don't know how much time has exactly elapsed here. But this would not have been my choice in how I would have taken care of this. But this is what he did. He stretches himself out over the child, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hand to hand. He completely covers the child with himself. What are you hoping to accomplish here? Mouth to mouth resuscitation doesn't work with dead people, right? What are you hoping to do? Warm the body up? That doesn't work with dead people. Elisha, what is your point? And the point is that one life is completely covered by another life. An amazing thing happened when one life covered another life. Story says the boy grows warm and the boy sneezes 7 times and opens his eyes. I'm really hoping Elisha got out of the way before he started sneezing. Okay? But that's what happened. As he's laying there and he's got this boy covered, the boy's body begins to warm, so that means the heart is now beating again. And as the blood begins to flow and the body begins to react amongst being brought back to life, it says he sneezed 7 times. And then Elisha did what Elisha should do. He calls the woman. Not take your son to the tomb. Not take your son and mourn. Take your son because that which once was dead is now alive. That which was broken, God healed. That which you persevered for, God understands, and God showed up. And here's the thing. She falls to the ground. That moment that she receives her son, I got a feeling there was a big hug in there. But as she's hugging her son, she gets down on her hands and knees and begins to worship God. Because the perseverance just doesn't end when I get what I wanted. It's a relationship that keeps going and going. See, that's what perseverance does. It turns preparation into restoration. It turns heartbreak into testimony, and it turns death into a divine encounter. Here's this woman who thought everything was bad, and everything is now not so bad. And on this Palm Sunday, we're reminded she wasn't the only one riding a donkey toward a moment that would change everything. Because we remember Jesus also rode a donkey in perseverance, and he did it perfectly. But the path looks eerily familiar. Jesus walked the same path, and it started with he made the will of God's will. All the way back in the garden, not my will, but your will. Father, whatever you ask of me, that's what I'm willing to do. Perseverance begins with the understanding you have to make room for God. He cannot be something that's out there. He has to be part of your life. As he continued to go, he carried the promise. Even your pain. I mean, it says he fell under the weight of his own cross. It says that they put him down onto that cross, and they put nails in his hands and feet. A thorn of crowns on his head. A spear eventually into his side once he's dead. It was all about pain. He faced death of what seemed like pain. When all the crowds were cheering, I almost wondered, what do you think Jesus was thinking that day? Remember, he's a prophet too. He knows what's coming. He's riding into this crowd, and he's looking at all these cheering, happy faces. He's looking at the pep rally that's going on. He's looking at all of this, and he's probably looking at these faces and saying, see you in just a few days. Oh, you're going to be cheering something, but it's going to be crucified. No, Hosanna. He didn't stop halfway. We have to remember, we forget, he made us aware of this. He could have put an end to this anytime he wanted to. He didn't have to do it all if he didn't want to. But he just kept going. He was honest in the struggle, and he cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then again, one of those cold, chilly moments that you get up and can't even respond to. At the end of it, we get the same result of perseverance. We got life. See, what looked like death wasn't the end. What looked like I'm finished wasn't final. What looked like it was over, days again, it all came rushing back in. Because Jesus came walking out of that tomb. And that's a nice story. We've heard the Palm Sunday story before. Maybe this is the first time we've ever heard the story of the tomb like that. I don't know. But there are nice stories, but stuff all happened 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even thought of 2,000 years ago. Why do I care? I care because the Shunammite woman rode a donkey toward a miracle. Jesus rode a donkey toward a cross. Both stories declare the exact same truth. If you don't stop, God isn't finished. It's not over. In fact, it's time to saddle up on your phone. Because you know what next week is, right? Next week is not the week that we celebrate Jesus riding on a donkey. It isn't even the week that we celebrate Jesus dying on a cross. We're going to do that Friday night in prayer. Next week is Jesus walking out of a tomb alive. We've given it the nickname Easter. Resurrection Sunday. But for today, Palm Sunday reminds us that the road may start with praise, it may pass through pain, but it absolutely doesn't end in death. So when life tells you to stop, when hope feels like it's buried, when your prayers feel like they're just unanswered, when all your strength is gone, I'd like to hear you to hear the echo. Don't give up. Saddle up. Saddle up with the knowing donkey. Saddle up with the forgiving donkey. Saddle up with the donkey of discernment. And yeah, as much as we didn't like him, saddle up with the donkey of disgust. Saddle up with the donkey of obedience. And well, ride in that saddle until God says, it's finished. When life says, stop, you need to remember this. That Jesus who rode to Jerusalem, walked through the cross, walked out the grave, and is still meeting on the road for people that refuse to quit. When life says stop, saddle the donkey. Because the mission's not over yet. Because that road that you're on may feel like the cross, the good fight. But you do understand if you keep on riding, where it's going to lead, right? The hope of resurrection. Only through